Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. It has been a busy week, a lot of action in Elon's first full week of owning Twitter. So congratulations to everyone that has made it through it. It's been a lot, I know, to keep track of and take notes on. So starting off the stock today, well, first let's talk about what we're going to talk about. We've got the Ron Barron interview with Elon Musk that happened this morning. So a lot of different things on both Tesla and Twitter in that we'll talk about. Just kind of hit the summary of that. And then we do have a couple of other Tesla and more general items as well. Looking at the stock though here, first Tesla down 3.6% today to close at $207.47. Pretty significant underperformance as the Nasdaq was up 1.25%. So basically just giving back the overperformance that we've had the last couple of days for Tesla, unfortunately. It did seem to start a little bit around the time that Elon's interview happened this morning, this downtrend, but if we pull up the Nasdaq here as well, kind of happened around the similar time. I mean, the Nasdaq was at up about 2% by the time Elon started his presentation, and then by the time he finished, up maybe 0.5%, or and then even dipping into the red a little bit after. So it did seem like Tesla dropped quite a bit when Elon was on, but so did the general market. So unless you feel like Elon was dropping it, the whole market, then I don't know exactly how much correlation, but certainly we saw a deeper hit on Tesla. So kind of tough to say. Anyway, before Elon did go on, Ron Barron was on CNBC talking about some of his expectations for Tesla. And as usual, he is very bullish. He said that he thinks he's going to make 7 times his money in the next 10 years on his Tesla investment. They have about $4 billion invested right now. And he said that in the next couple of years, so probably 3 years or so in 2025, he expects a share price of around $500 to $600. And then continuing on from there, obviously, to get to the $4.5 trillion market cap that Elon has kind of alluded to with Apple and Saudi Aramco combined. We heard Elon mention that, I believe, on the Q3 call. Yeah, the Q3 call. Everything's mashing up together, but on the Q3 call, Elon mentioned that. So Ron Barron saying that is in line with his expectations, which obviously oftentimes come from conversations with Tesla and with Elon. So getting into this interview then, we'll just go through kind of the notes that I took throughout the interview. Hopefully everyone had a chance to see some of those things on Twitter and stuff, but I don't have a link for this one in the description today because this was an investor event. There are some versions on YouTube, but those are kind of bootlegs, so you'll have to seek those out for yourself if you're interested in those. But to just go through kind of the high-level stuff on Tesla first. So Ron Barron had asked, or he'd mentioned that, here you're telling us you want to make cars for $20,000 a piece. How do you do that? And Elon said, well, we've not formally announced our next car program, so I can't talk too much about our upcoming vehicle programs that have not been announced, but we do expect to make cars that are more affordable than the current Model 3 or Model Y. So a lot of people mentioning that this, and also this next comment that we'll talk about in a second, seeming like Ron Barron was kind of leading into private information that had been shared with him that hasn't really been discussed publicly. And Elon kind of jumping in and cutting that off a little bit. It did seem a little bit that way, but Elon has talked about this before. I mean, we talked about it on our recap of the Q3 earnings call, where Elon had mentioned that, yeah, really their goal is to, with each platform, reduce the cost by half or kind of get two vehicles for the price of one. Right now, Tesla's cost of goods sold are, on the Model 3 and Y, somewhere in the $36,000 range. So cutting that in half, $18,000 of cost. So that's lining up with what Ron Barron is saying here. Probably not, nothing material there that hasn't been mentioned before. So Elon commenting on that, and then just going into the general conversation about how autonomy can really drive the cost, but also increase the value, drive down the cost, but also increase the value of vehicles that we've, all heard and talked about many times. The next bit was Elon saying that, I mean, I have to be careful about material non-public information, but I think I have said in the past publicly that our aspiration is to reach 40,000 cars per week by the end of this year. So Ron Barron again kind of leading him into that. And again, no surprise, Elon has mentioned that on, I believe, the Q2 earnings call in that case, that was their target for the end of the year. At that time, he had said they'd already hit 30,000 vehicle weeks. So hopefully this is achievable. Of course, that would be about a 2 million vehicle per year run rate. With what we have seen from Berlin and Texas so far, we just got that Texas milestone of them hitting 20,000 vehicles produced in total. It would seem like Tesla is tracking pretty well towards that. Of course, Shanghai, a little bit of a question for October, but even if we do see a lower production number for October, as we've talked about, should be room to increase that for November and December. Next point here. It is looking increasingly like, for some of the critical elements of batteries, that Tesla will need to get into the mining business, mining and refining. So we've heard mixed comments on this over the last probably 6 months or so when Elon has broached this topic. Originally, it was kind of like, yeah, we'll do it if we need to. We really don't want to. We have no aspirations of doing it. Then it was like, oh, refining, probably something we're doing. We've seen the paperwork for the Corpus Christi refining plant that Tesla has planned. And now we even have mining coming into this conversation as well. So, need to get into the mining business, and then mining and refining is what Elon has said. That is the most direct comment that we've had of Tesla going in that direction so far. So it seems to be escalating, and certainly looks like the path that Tesla is currently planning on heading down at some point. There was a rumor a few days ago, we didn't cover it on the podcast, but it's just a rumor that Tesla had interest in investing in Glencore, a massive mining and commodities company, $75 billion-ish market cap. Elon just shutting that down, saying, we've never contemplated investing in Glencore, so part of that conversation as it relates to mining. Next, Elon just saying that at this point, he really thinks that it's most probable that Tesla is the best at manufacturing in the automotive industry. I think he's kind of made comments in that direction as well before. Next here, this was kind of interesting, a response to an investor question towards the end of the conversation. I had to laugh at the question just in the first place. I think many here can understand why, but the question was, why invest in Tesla at 70 times earnings versus investing in Mercedes at 6.5 times earnings when they've got a 5% yield with their dividend? So Elon kind of chuckling a little bit at it too and said, and I think this is kind of misinterpreted by many people today and maybe contributed to the fall that we saw in the stock, but Elon said, quote, well, I actually rarely try to convince people, sorry, lost my place there. I actually rarely try to convince anyone to invest in Tesla, and many times I've recommended people don't invest in Tesla, and I've said our stock is too high, but then people just ignore me and keep buying the stock for some reason. But I think at a very high level, I'd say that autonomy is insanely fundamental breakthrough, is an insanely fundamental breakthrough, and no one is even close to Tesla for solving generalized autonomy or generalized self-driving vehicles. No one's even close. So here is where I think people were misinterpreting is, you know, Elon not necessarily saying that the stock is too high right now. He's saying, I've said our stock is too high in the past. People ignore me and keep buying, so that's a little bit more present. But on the Q3 earnings call, we heard Elon talk about how this is the clearest path that he has seen to Tesla having, you know, that $4 or $5 trillion valuation. So he has actually been, you know, more aggressively talking about where Tesla can end up as a stock over the last kind of 6 months or so. That kind of pairs with comments from the shareholder meeting. Of course, Elon ended up selling after that, but there were a lot of people thinking that Elon was just saying that to sell stock after the Q3 earnings report, and obviously we have seen that that did not happen, at least as of yet, so it doesn't look likely. So I think that's been just a little bit misinterpreted, mostly talking in the past tense there, and then he is going on to talk about, you know, a pretty bullish thing there with autonomy towards the end. He then continues on that train of thought and says, quote, can you imagine if a company was doing 25 to 30% gross margins, but suddenly that same thing was 5 times more valuable? What would that do to the value of Tesla and the value of that car? It boggles the mind, actually. So if you think of the net present value of future cash flows, if you actually do the math on that, it's insane. We have done the math on that a couple of times, and I would agree. He then continued on to note that on top of that, there's the Tesla bot, and said, quote, and these things will actually happen. So that's probably a good reason. That's kind of how he wraps up the question of why investing in Tesla. So again, I actually, you know, my take on that was that Elon was, again, pretty bullish on the stock. We have seen him at times say, hey, the stock is too high. We've seen what has happened since then where the stock has gone significantly higher. Elon's always cautious with statements like that. So no surprise. Kind of last thing, and this was, if you did watch the conference, it was a response to a question about why don't we leverage the electricity that's going into traffic lights for supercharging. Elon was pretty polite with his answer, but he then expanded on that, saying, long-term goal for superchargers is to have as many as possible be self-sustaining with solar and storage. So those were kind of the main Tesla things. We do have quite a few notes here on Twitter too. We'll go through those a little bit more quickly, but Elon, in terms of relevance to Tesla, did note that with the acquisition, his workload's gone up from probably 70 to 80 hours a week, from probably 70 to 80 hours a week to probably 120 hours. He had just gotten off a flight. Definitely looked like he has been up for quite some time at the point of this interview, which again, it's a morning interview. So Elon's got a lot going on right now. He said he thinks he'll have to do that for a while, but once Twitter is set on the right path, should be much easier to manage than SpaceX or Tesla. There's been a lot of reporting on what's happened since Elon has bought Twitter. Moderation policies have not changed at Twitter. He re-emphasized that. We've seen him make similar comments today on Twitter. He said it's not okay to engage in hateful conduct on Twitter. So, good to see those things voiced. Talked about activist groups convincing advertisers to stop ads on Twitter, views it as a suppression of free speech. Similar tweets today, making that point. I think there is some of that, but I think Elon is also under appreciating or undervaluing the impact that his getting more involved in politics has had, and just kind of the uncertainty that advertisers probably have around what that might entail for them on the platform. So I think that's affecting things. I think if Elon realizes that and adjusts actions a little bit, it might help. That does not seem to be what we're seeing so far. So we'll see how that unfolds. But, based on the tweets from earlier this evening, it doesn't look like that's the frame of mind that Elon has with it right now. So we'll see how that goes. It's not my favorite part of what's happening right now and of the Twitter acquisition, but I think Elon's going to make a lot of good changes to the product and hopefully can just kind of move forward from this period of uncertainty that advertisers have. And I think in any acquisition of a company that you're advertising on, there's going to be questions about what that platform ends up looking like under new ownership. So, probably not something that should be entirely unexpected and probably amplified a little bit with Elon's personality. So those are kind of my thoughts on that. No means for content creators to monetize a video on Twitter right now. I mean, I've talked about this. Like, I've been on Twitter longer than I've been on YouTube, and my total revenue from Twitter is $0, right? Like, there's no incentive for creators to be on Twitter other than to have an audience and try to get that audience somewhere else that can generate some revenue. So Elon wanting to fix that, I think that's going to be huge. He said we're going to change that rapidly. Should be big for Twitter. He also commented that he knows a way to make a better PayPal. We've talked about this before as well. Said that there's a product plan I wrote, which I wish I kept a copy of in July of 2000, where I thought it would be possible to make the most valuable financial institution in the world, and we're going to execute that plan from 22 years ago, which amazingly no one has done. So that's part of why I think Twitter will ultimately be extremely valuable, because I'm going to execute the X.com game plan from 22 years ago with some improvements. So I think regardless of your interest in Twitter and all that, it is exciting to see even just the pace of innovation that's been injected in Twitter over the last week. Like, it's clear there's a lot of happening. Elon today, of course, has fired, laid off half of Twitter employees, essentially. So there's a lot going on, a lot of changes, restructuring the expense base for the business. I mean, all the things that we talk about with operating leverage, that applies to Twitter too. Their operating expenses are ridiculous. They're pretty close to Tesla's for a company that doesn't need much physical infrastructure. So there's restructuring that needs to be done from a business standpoint. Elon doing that, definitely interesting to see. Again, regardless of your interest in Twitter, if Elon can build this, ultimately that will be good for Tesla. Takes away the question of financing for keeping Twitter going, and anything that benefits Elon should be beneficial for sort of the entirety of the the group of companies. And I think unfortunately right now we're in a period of time where it's sort of the opposite impact, where we've got the distraction of Twitter kind of weighing on everything. So we'll move on from that. Next here, we've got just an interesting report from teslamag.de. So there are incentives in Germany for electric vehicles that are being phased down as we move into 2023. So for Tesla vehicles, essentially what that amounts to is a 5,000 euro credit going down to 3,000 euro credits. It's a little bit split up between manufactured provided credits and government provided credits. So it gets a little bit tricky, but as we head into 2023, Tesla has let customers know that they will be honoring the current incentive structure out of their own pocket for vehicles that are ordered before the end of the year. So if you order, you know, December 25th or whatever, and you can't take delivery before the end of the year because there aren't vehicles available, Tesla will match the portion of the credit that would then be phased out by the time you end up taking delivery in 2023. So it's interesting for a couple points. We've talked about how there are incentives in Shanghai that are being phased out. And then in the United States, of course, we've got the Inflation Reduction Act kicking in electric vehicle credits as we head into the year. So there's a lot of incentive right now to take delivery internationally, and a lot of incentive in the United States to delay delivery. So hopefully those things kind of wash out when we're talking about Q4 and Tesla's ability to deliver the vehicles that they produce. Of course, there's going to be some increase in in-transit vehicles, in vehicles that Tesla's sort of got in inventory on the way to customers. And some of that's going to be affected probably in the United States by people wanting to delay delivery. But hopefully there's a lot of incentive for people to make sure that they're taking deliveries internationally. This does, though, defeat a little bit of that in Germany. Obviously, big incentive to get orders in, but if Tesla's going to cover the credit, not as big of an incentive to end up taking that delivery. So basically what it amounts to is that Tesla will end up providing, you know, 2,000 euros of compensation. There are some caveats, of course. You know, you can't change your order once you've ordered, you know, in terms of options and things like that. You can't request to delay your delivery later on, and you have to pay sort of immediately upon receipt of the invoice. So interesting, and, you know, hopefully that helps out customers in those situations that are kind of up against those deadlines. All right, next up here, we've got a report. This one's out of Canada. Pretty funny. Reporting from Mobile Syrup. Tough to think of a more Canadian site name than that. But Tesla has filed an application to offer telecom services in its vehicles in Canada. So they filed for a basic international telecommunications service license. They say that they don't have any plans to own or operate transmission facilities in Tesla. So this would be providing machine-to-machine cellular data, is what they say, for in-vehicle and infotainment access, internet access, and mobile terminating SMS to wake up vehicles. So I'm not sure on that. Normally Tesla would be, I would think, just waking that up with, I guess, a cell signal, but doing that through SMS. So the machine-to-machine thing, I would assume, would be talking about cellular device to vehicle rather than what that might imply at first might be like vehicle to vehicle. But it is interesting to see, you know, Tesla apply for this license. I don't have a whole lot of insight on what that might allow for them to do, but would definitely welcome any comments for anyone that, you know, has a little bit more expertise in that area. All right, last couple of things then. We've talked about the European Union and their sort of, you know, perturbance or dismay with the Inflation Reduction Act and the EV tax credit structure and how that incentivizes a lot of things happening in the United States. We're now seeing pushback as well from Japan, South Korea as well. So Japan looking for more flexibility on those credits. South Korea is pushing for a 3-year grace period, which I think is pretty understandable. It obviously takes time to react to these things. So just more international pushback. And I would imagine that when we do see sort of like the final cut and dry rules of this, we're going to see some effect of all the pushback that we have seen from all these countries. All right, then last thing for today as we head into next week. So we should be expecting the CPI report next Thursday. Obviously, that's going to be huge for expectations on interest rates, as we've talked about many times. We should also get the numbers for Tesla China. So, of course, we talked about the wholesale numbers. Should get the split between export and retail. And then we should also get production numbers next week as well. So lots to look forward to for next week, but that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you next week for the Monday, November 7th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.